This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome, everybody, into the Adam Carriker Show. Oh, my God, it's a gloomy day. It's cloudy. It's rainy. The Huskers lost. Jake, what could be better in life right now? Like, seriously, what could be better? All right, I digress. Welcome into the Adam Carriker Show, the show that gives you unique insights, unbridled honesty. Jake looks like he's awake today. So Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun. Producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, live here on 93.7 The Ticket, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. Come join me on Wednesdays. Join Steve Taylor Monday through Friday, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. Grab your lunch. Come join us. We're talking Husker sports, college football, and general sports as well. Today's show, here's what I want to do, because the title of today's show, I only sent it to Jake, but I can't remember exactly what I said. Basically, it's essentially facts don't care about feelings Monday, time for some real talk, Husker fans. That's the gist of it, right?
Yep.
I may have nailed it, actually.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Maybe I'm intelligent. Who knows? I want to open the text line wide open. Jake's going to be monitoring for the next hour. If you want to call in, call in. We can't take every caller, but we want to dedicate the next hour to the people. We want to hear what you have to say. Facts don't care about feelings. Time for some real talk Monday. Husker fans, I've got a whole bunch of stats. Oh, there's just a lot of them, and they are what they are, and the facts don't care about feelings. Text in, call in. Jake is free to interrupt me at any point today. Normally, we talk national college football results on a Monday. I've got notes for that. It can be bumped to Tuesday as well. Normally, I'd react to Matt Rhule's press conference on a Monday. I can do that. But if the people take over the show, that can all be bumped to another day, or even just do it and reconvene another week. I don't care. Jake, what is that number for them to text in, to call into? Let the fine folks know.
Well, it's the same number either way, 402-464-5685. And yeah, once again, that's the Sartor Hayman text line, 402-464-5685. Same number if you want to call in and talk directly to Adam.
All right. So I'm going to do something blasphemous. I'm actually going to start out with something positive. Let's talk Nebraska volleyball. Let's start out with something on the positive side of things. And then we can dive into other things, a.k.a. Nebraska football. But I wanted to point this out, and I pointed it out on social media Saturday night. Nebraska volleyball, all right, on Saturday, I got to double check, see if they, I do not believe they played Monday. Do you know if they played Monday or not, Jake?
I'm not sure.
I'm sorry, Sunday, not Monday, but Sunday. No, their last match, which is what I thought was the case. Nebraska volleyball sweeps Indiana, now has won 40 consecutive home matches. The most in Division I, Nebraska Kearney. Has won 29 consecutive home matches. That's the most in Division II. Now, according to the RPI rankings, Nebraska is actually number one in the country. I guess that's what happens. And you look at who they've beaten. And the top 11 teams, they've beaten seven of them. Take themselves out of the equation. All right. The next 10 highest-ranked teams in the country, they've beaten seven of them. Number three, Louisville. They play number four, Penn State, here in about a week. Number five, Creighton. Number six, Wisconsin. Number seven, Stanford. Just think about this if it were a college football team. Number eight, Purdue. Number nine, Arizona State. Beat them all. There's SMU. Beat number 11, Oregon. Yet somehow they're ranked number two in the country. We have bigger problems, but I thought I would shout out the Nebraska volleyball team. That's an insane schedule. And they've beaten them. Everyone but one team out of Dallas. So shout out to Nebraska women's volleyball. All right, let's dive in to some of these other things that aren't so glorious, but they are what they are. They don't care about my feelings or Jake's feelings or anybody's feelings. It's Facts Don't Care About Feelings. Time for some real talk on this Monday, Nebraska fans. And Jake, hop in. Monitor the text line. Monitor the calls. I want this to be dedicated to the people today. Now, I got to shout out John Bishop on this. He did some phenomenal research, okay? And here are some stats that he put out, and then I got a whole plethora of my own. All right, Matt Rhule is now 9-2 in one-score games at Nebraska. Nebraska this decade is 6-25 in one-score games. Nebraska attempted 38 passes and ran the ball 25 times on Saturday. The Huskers are 17-49 since 2004 when they attempt more passes than runs. Think about that. Dylan Raiola was 27-38 for 191 yards. That's 5.02 yards per attempt. Michigan is 133rd in the nation at 5.6 yards per pass attempt. This is the third game in the last four where Nebraska's yards per attempt was under 5.6. So worse than Michigan, 133rd in the country. I mean, their quarterback is big and strong and can throw. I mean, when he starts, but they're struggling up there with the forward pass. Like right up, actually, Army and Navy are actually throwing the ball fairly well this year. I was going to say Army and Navy, but my goodness, Army and Navy is actually doing halfway decent. Obviously, they run the ball first with their option. But against Indiana, 5.08 yards per pass attempt. By the way, this is not good if you haven't put that together. Ohio State, 4.6 screens. USC, 5.02, somehow even lower. Nebraska ran 25 times for 119 yards. That is somehow below our season average of 124 yards rushing per game. But we did rush for 4.76 yards per carry. So the yards per rush went up when we did run the ball. I mean, Dana's calling the plays. He likes to throw the ball, okay? We know that. It's the first time this season Nebraska has lost rushing for over 4.0 yards per carry. In their previous four games, their yards per carry that they had lost was 2.82. In other words, Saturday, they were almost 2 yards per carry better than the previous four games combined. Dylan Raiola's last five games, 1-4 record. He's 103 of 168 passes, talking about his completion percentage being 61%. It was 74 or 72. Do you remember, Jake?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
It was in the 70s, and it was an even number below halfway. So that means 72 or 74. Now it's down to 61, 888 yards passing. Again, 5.3 yards per attempt over the last five games, 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Which is quite the flip from the 9 touchdown passes and 3 INTs that he had at one point this season. All right, he charted every game since 2004. There have been 34 games where Nebraska attempted at least 20 passes and completed at least 70% of those passes. In those 34 games, the average yards per attempt, compare this to everything I just said, was 9.3 yards per pass attempt, almost double. Nebraska's record in those games, I'm going to shock you with this, was 24-10. The good old days. All right, Dylan owns 3 of these games, Colorado, Northern Iowa, and USC. In 2 of those games, his yards per attempt were 6.2 or under or worse, as he wrote, Colorado and USC. Those are the 2 lowest yards per attempt in any of these 34 games since 2004. USC's havoc rate, pressure rate, was 17.4%. All right, it's the lowest opponent coming into the game. It's the lowest opponent havoc or pressure rate of the season in a loss. USC was dead last in the Big Ten with sacks. That's a simpler way of saying that. All right, tied for dead last. USC sacked Raiola twice and hurried him as well. All right, looking at the defensive side of things, when Tommy Hill on USC's first touchdown basically lets him stroll right past him into the end zone, you know, you watch Dylan slide short of the first down. Those two plays bother me as much as anything. That's just pure. I mean, that doesn't take much. That doesn't take experience. That doesn't take a certain amount of coaching. That is pure want to, and we're fighting and scratching and clawing for everything. I don't mind giving Dylan a pass on a lot of things. Hey, he's maybe a little slow on his reads. Okay, he's 19. Maybe he's missing some wide open guys, which he is. And Rhule even admitted they made it too complicated. I can give him a pass on some of this stuff. The fact that he's regressed really bothers me. Again, I put that more on the coaches. But I can give the ball to my third grade daughter, Dakota, who Ed Warder shouted out when I interviewed him on Friday. I can give it to her. She loves football. She walks around in Bronco stuff all the time. That's why I picked her out of all my kids. And I can say, you got to get to that first down marker over there. layout for it, and she can understand that. Or I can say, hey, that guy's going to try to get, he's got the ball here. He's going to try to get in that thing back there. It's called the end zone. If they score, they get 6 points plus an extra point is 7 points. Knock him out of bounds before he gets there. And she can understand that. And by God, she'll do it too. I bring that up. Obviously, our defense was inconsistent. The secondary left some wide open USC wide receivers. As a whole, our defense has got to get better at certain things, but they played well enough to win the game on Saturday, but certain things bothered me. Okay. They're absolutely the strongest of our three units between special teams, offense, and defense. That being said, Tony White's defense, all right, defenses were trending in the same direction as the vaunted 2009-2010 unit with 18 straight games of holding a team to under 6 yards per play. USC gained 6.6 yards per play, the fourth straight opponent to go over 6 yards a play. Now, this doesn't seem right, but here it is. Not Cosgrove, not Kevin Cosgrove, not Bo Pelini, not Ryan Banker, not Eric Chenander, not even the strain is real. Mr. Bob Diaco's defenses had four straight games in a season to allow more than 6 yards per play. Not four straight games. A streak of four straight games hasn't even occurred crossing over season since 2004. It's been that long since that's happened.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
All right, and that's before Cosgrove got here, by the way. The Huskers had one sack and 36 dropbacks, a 2.8% sack rate, the lowest of the season, versus USC on Saturday. I mean, I don't know, Jake, does all that make sense? And when you hear that, what's your thoughts? And then do we have any folks piping in here?
Oh yeah, we got plenty of thoughts on off the text line that we can get to. But yeah, I mean, it's frustrating because there's a lot of stats piling up on Nebraska on this staff. And
I've got more.
Yeah,
I've got more.
Sure you do.
That's the short end of the paper. Sorry, finish your thought, Jake. Sorry.
No, you're all right. I mean, it's just, you know, it's frustrating, and I know it's almost frustrating to me that it's piling up per game on people, because I hate to say this as we're all melting down, but Nebraska somewhat played a four-quarter game. I mean, it was tied at halftime. They're down by one entering the third quarter. You know, this was a 4-5 team. I get that, but it was one of the offenses that we circled going into the year. Like, okay, this is going to present a bit of a challenge. And so, like, if I just isolated that game, I guess I wasn't too frustrated by it, but it's just when you add it on top of all these things, that it's becoming more and more frustrating. And it's just, you know, at this point, 8 attempts for Coach Rhule to get Nebraska to a bowl game, 0-8.
0-9, actually.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about stats that go back to 2004 now. At the beginning of the year, everything I talked about went back to 2016. It all ended at 2016. I don't think I mentioned anything before 2016. Now we're talking about the strain is real, Bob Diaco and Ryan Banker. You're going to have to forgive me. I forgot he was here for a little
Mark
while.
Banker, yeah.
Mark Banker. See, there you go. Like, with all due respect. Okay, with all due respect, that's on me. That's not on him. But we're talking about guys. I was like, oh, yeah, he was here. And we're going all the way back to 2004. Wow. All right. What are some of the texts, any of the questions, thoughts? Let me know.
Donald off YouTube says, is Nebraska scared they will lose Dylan if they put him on the bench? If so, this is ridiculous that he could hold this over Nebraska's head.
I don't think he's holding it over Nebraska's head, but it absolutely is a thought. It has to be a thought. Like, does Dylan go if we bench him? How does a young man react to this? And that's not even unique to Dylan. That's today's world. If anybody has any sort of experience in youth sports, I mean, it is crazy. And I bring up youth sports because that's where it starts. That's where it starts. All right. I have a particular kid in my house that we thought he was too young to, we thought this kid was too young to ask him to do certain things. And so we waited until this particular kid was older. Now, this particular kid walks in the door, shoes everywhere, clothes on the floor, and goes on about their day, doesn't think twice. Meanwhile, the seven-year-old, we started when she was three. She walks in, puts her shoes away, puts her coat away, and we're like, hey, you can start with kids at a younger age. And in other words, what these kids are learning in first, second, and third grade about commitment, about hard work, about these things, it translates over. So it's not even just to Dylan, okay? It's to this, what these kids have been trained starting at a young age and then going on up through high school, going on up through college. So it absolutely, I think it's fair to say that that is probably a thought and or a concern. All right, what do we got next, Jake?
Old Dad 34 says, Adam, I say take away all but four of the single-digit numbers away from the defense. He highlights 9, 0, 7, and 8 to keep them, but what are your thoughts about the single-digit numbers at this point?
That's interesting. That hadn't even occurred to me. You know, obviously, we've gone back and forth about when the black shirts should be handed out, and can they be taken away, and how do you earn them back, and all that in past years. All right, I'm not advocating for that now. I mean, the defense, you know, pick six, fumble recovery, ball on USC 16-yard line. Offense, I think, got half a centimeter. Okay, so we didn't get a touchdown, and we had to kick a field goal. Defense handed the offense 10 points. That's the amount of points that the offense completely earned on their own without the help of anybody the rest of the game. So I'm not advocating that for the defense. While they do have things they absolutely need to do better, which is communicate in the secondary and be freaking more consistent. And when we need it the most, step the hell up. Those are the biggest things. What was the question? God dang it. I got so distracted on my own little.
Oh, it's just that the single digit numbers should be taken away.
I don't know, man. You're opening up a whole nother thing and a whole bunch of box of drama there. Is it something that's a possibility? Yes. It kind of drives me nuts with all the dilemma around how to handle the black shirts sometimes. I personally just don't want to open up another box like that. I just don't want to do it. The single digits are supposed to be a positive thing. Let's just not mess with that for right now. Does that make sense? It's another thing. Okay, when do we hand them out? When do they get taken away? How do you earn it back? It's a conversation I don't mind having. I'm not ready to pull that trigger and open up another Pandora's box of debate with another thing that's supposed to be an honor bestowed on the kids. I'd like to win games and go to a bowl game. That would make this discussion mute. But, you know, it is what it is. Do you have anything else at this point in time? I got all sorts of notes, or we can just spend the whole time reacting to fans. This is the fan show today, ladies and gentlemen.
Gorilla Bear off the text line says, I'm out on Rule. He doesn't beat good teams historically. His game management is atrocious, and he has shown zero progress versus last year with seemingly better talent.
Oh, man. I'm not out on Rule. I am no longer, like, absolutely convinced he's the guy to get us back to 8, 9, 10 wins. I've always said he's a good coach. I don't know if he's great. He's a great program builder, a good coach. Is he a great coach? I don't know. I've always been convinced he'll get us to 8, 9, 10 wins, you know, 3 or 4 years into his tenure, and we're in year two. I didn't know if he'd be the guy to get us past that due to the 500 career record or just over coaching wise in college and the lackluster performance against ranked teams. You know, the thought was always, hey, you know what? He'd build a program up, and then once they're built up, he'd leave. So he's playing all these ranked teams while he's building a program, not once he's established it. So we really don't know. Now I'm not so absolutely convinced he'll get us to an 8, 9, 10 win type thing, type seasons. I'm not convinced he's not. To say that I'm out on Rule would mean that I'm convinced he's not the guy to do that. I'm not convinced of that one way or the other. Now it's, I got to see it. Like, it's got to be proven. And it starts with getting to a bowl game this year. And it starts with figuring out how to win games. I bring up Florida, and people probably get sick and tired of it. Their starting quarterback is out. Their backup quarterback has been knocked out at times this year. I don't even know if he played Saturday versus LSU. I was unable to watch that game. But if you remember, nobody was talking about Florida LSU, and I brought it up on Friday's show. And I said Florida is going to win. And I said Billy Napier, who's been under fire all year, has actually done a really good job. They have played the number 5 team in the country throughout this year, the number 10 team in the country, the number 8 team in the country, the number 2 team in the country, the number 5 team in the country. LSU was just number 21. They got Ole Miss coming up next. Florida State is god-awful, but it's an in-state rival. The only teams that aren't just like a murderer's row borderline NFL schedule slate is Samford, Mississippi State, and another in-state rival team that's going to go to a bowl game, which is UCF. That's it. Everything else is Miami, Texas A&M, Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss. They're 5-5. They have the same record we have. With that brutal schedule and a backup quarterback and a third-string guy who's come in at times as well this year. Like, for me, figure it out. Figure out a way to win a close game. Figure out a way to win a game in November. Teach your defenders when the guy's running up and up down, when he's running down the sidelines, to knock him the hell out of bounds so he doesn't just stroll on into the end zone to tie the game 7-7. Hey, when we're fighting and scratching and clawing for a bowl game, and for more than that, to be honest with you, it's more about what it represents than the actual bowl game itself. And you're cleared to play, lay it out to get the freaking first down. Did I answer the question at all? I'm going off on all these little tangents, and I don't even remember what you've asked me to begin with. What was the original thing?
Well, I think you did. But basically, somebody's saying they're out on Matt Rhule. It is concerning, and I think that a lot of Husker Nation's in that same territory, which I got to with Frost pretty early, which is it's a bad place to be when you go from believing in the coach to hoping for the coach. Bad spot.
That's a good point. That's a good way of putting it, too. I just bring up Florida because what do you think our record would be if we played that schedule?
Yikes.
They have the same record we do, and yet compare schedules. Now, Indiana's a little better than we thought. Beyond that, I don't think anything on our schedule is all that shocking. USC's probably worse than we would have thought at the beginning of the year. So I think it all evens out. My point is, you got to figure it out. At some time, you've got to figure it out. I'm not out on Rhule. I don't have a definitive opinion on whether he's going to be the guy to get us back to 8, 9, 10 wins, and then we see if he's elite after that. I don't have a definitive opinion one way or the other. I am in pure wait-and-see mode. I don't care what is said. I don't care about Kool-Aid. Action speaks so loudly, I can't hear anything you say. I'm not even just talking about Rhule. I'm talking about anything and everyone. Do it on the field. And it just so happens, coincidentally, my next note here is from Dylan Raiola's post-game press conference, and he talks about he's very confident Nebraska is going to get to a bowl game. By God, if he said the opposite, we'd be in an uproar. So, of course, he's going to say that. And he said Husker Nation is probably logged out. That's the direct quote. I think Husker Nation is pissed. I think a small portion is logged out. I think the majority is still, we got two chances to get one. I think that's how most people feel. I think they're like teetering. I think a small portion is logged out, very, very small, but people are just teetering. All right, we got a call, we got a text. I've got 1,000 more notes. What do we got here, Jake?
We better go to break pretty soon.
Let's think about this, and we'll go to break. Honest question that I was sent from a buddy of mine. I have an honest question, Adam. How do you improve during the season so you win in November? Is it weightlifting, conditioning? Nebraska is now 5-24 in November the last 7 seasons. We have just never shown improvement to finish strong. What are we missing? Rhule is also personally 0-6 in November since he got here. I'm going to ponder that question. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. In the meantime, actually, what's that number again, Jake?
402-464-5685.
All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.